بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 21st session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, and the explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, with the explanation of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight, inshaAllah, we intend to look at the hadith number 17 from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi. And before we do that, we're going to take a quick look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 20. From last week's questionnaire study guide. The first question last week was summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 16. Now, Nasir. Avoiding getting angry. Anybody else? Avoiding getting angry. Now, yani avoiding the things that lead to anger, that cause one to become angry, or the prohibition of becoming angry. The second question, who is the rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of the hadith, anybody remember? Fadda. Abu Huraira. The rawi of the hadith is Abu Huraira, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, radiallahu anhu. And the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? First guess would be Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Question number three, discuss briefly the meaning of do not become angry, as explained by Al-Imam Al-Khattabi, rahimahullah. Briefly, the meaning of do not become angry. Naam, Qasim.
To avoid things that cause anger.
Avoid the things that cause anger. Yani, don't put yourself in the position or in the situation that leads to, that brings about anger. And the meaning, he said here, is not, yani, like what might be considered as an absolute prohibition from becoming angry, because anger is something that's natural in the human being. And every person is going to be affected by it to some extent or another, except that there's a place for it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being with this characteristic in them for a benefit. So there is a place for anger. But it has to be used in its place and avoided otherwise. Question number four. Discuss briefly how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement, La taghdab, combines the khair of the dunya of this world and the khair of the akhirah of the next life. Yani the statement that is mentioned from Ibn Tain, rahimahullah. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ has combined in this statement, La taghdab, the best of this world and the next life. He said that is because, anyone? Naam, fadlu.
When it comes to this world, you avoid, doing things that you most likely regret, such as breaking ties.
Okay, it leads to cutting off ties. Naam. And also?
Prohibits a person from being gentle.
It prohibits a person from being gentle. Naam. Yani anger prevents a person from being gentle. And this is from the tremendous characteristics of yani the believer. And also he said that perhaps sometimes anger might lead a person to harming the person that they are angry with. And all of this, yani, is a cause of a decrease in one's deen. Yani some extent of defectiveness in a person's deen. Question number five, complete the hadith, the strong man is not the one who wrestles well, rather the strong man is, Naam, Abdullah, the one who controls his anger, yani the one who's able to control himself when he is angry. Everybody can control themselves when they're not angry, but the strong person is the one who's able to control themselves at the time of anger. Question number six, mention three things from the sunnah which should be done when a person is overcome by anger. From the sunnah. One. Now, what is your name, Akhi? What did he say? Yasin. Now, Yasin. I think I asked you that last week, right?
The first one is to seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan.
Okay, so from the most important things, if a person is overcome by anger, is to say something. I need to seek refuge in Allah from a shaitan. To say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Another. Somebody else. Naam, Anwar.
Standing.
If a person is standing, then they should sit. And if the anger goes away, fine. If it doesn't, then they should
lay down.
Lay down. One more. Naam, Nasir.
Remain silent.
If a person became angry, after they said, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, that's enough. Yakfi. There's no need for any more discussion. There was one more thing that we mentioned also in the hadith in the end, and he quickly, kind of went through it quickly, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned a person, if they became angry, yani the one who controls their anger, who controls their rage, yani the person who does so, then yani the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will call them in front of the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah and let them choose, yani from the Hur al-Ayn, whatever they will to marry. As it came in the hadith that is sahih. And it's from the hadith that we sent out, yani, or that I copied on the back of the study guide tonight from last week. Next to the last question, question number 7, mentioned 3 benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Three benefits. Now, Talib.
Knowledge that is good and a real aid to increase one in righteousness.
Okay, diligence, yani the diligence of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in seeking that which is khair, and that was indicated in the fact that this companion asked the Prophet ﷺ for advice, to advise him, yani so that he could do that which is good. Another point that the Shaykh mentioned, Qasim. Now, a warning. Yani this, in this hadith, there is a warning against, yani warning from to avoid the things that cause anger, and also a warning that a person protect themselves from the consequences, the effects of anger, yani what it leads to, yani the harmful effects of the anger. And the last point that the Shaykh mentioned, Naam, Fadl. The repetition, yani the Prophet ﷺ repeating that advice again and again and again, and not offering anything more than that. The repetition of that advice is an indication of the importance of that particular advice. And one, the last question number 8, mentioned one fa'idah, which Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah has derived from this hadith. We mentioned one fa'idah, Naam.
The importance of tailoring your instruction to your audience.
Yani the mufti, the muallim, should give full consideration to the condition of the person who is asking them, yani for the ruling, or asking, seeking knowledge from them, that they should give full consideration of that person and address them accordingly, according to their condition, according to what they are in need of. Tayyib, so these are the some of the points that we discussed last week, and tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to look at the next hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, and this hadith is hadith number 17. And in the printing, the Arabic copy of the book that we're reading from, and there are different printings of it, in the printing that we have been reading from, it's on page 65. It's on page 65. So this hadith is al-hadith al-sabi'ashra, the 17th hadith, an Abi Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aus radiyallahu anhu عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليرح ذبيحته رواه مسلم. يعني this hadith is on the authority of Abu Ya'la, whose name is Shaddad ibn Aus, May Allah be pleased with him. He narrates from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, indeed, Allah has kataba al-ihsan. Yani he has legislated or commanded al-ihsan. Yani the doing of things well, excellence, proficiency in whatever we do. Ala kulli shayin. Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said the meaning ala kulli shayin, wallahu alam, is fi kulli shayin. Yani inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shayin, yani in every affair, in everything that we do. So if you kill, then yani ahsinu al-qitla, yani do that killing well, with proficiency. And if you slaughter an animal, then also do the slaughtering well, yani with proficiency. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and every one of you, yani who intends to slaughter, he should sharpen his shafra, yani his knife that he's going to slaughter with, or whatever instrument he's going to slaughter with. He should sharpen it. وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. And he should spare the animal suffering. Yani he should do it in such a way that there will be least suffering for the animal or the one that is being executed. Yani if a person is being killed within the prescribed laws of Islam. Before we look at the Shaykh's explanation, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4 points primarily that we're going to be looking at here. 4 points or 5 points, yeah, including the benefits that are derived from this hadith. Before we look at those points, I want to quickly yani read from some comments from a Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, as an introduction to this topic. Yani in that he has given a more extensive explanation of this hadith, and within it he has written some words that are yani useful as an introduction to this topic, in which he discusses al-ihsan. And he mentions that there's ihsan that is required in one's relationship with your Rabb. And there's ihsan in your relationships with people. And there's ihsan in your dealing with animals. So he says the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he says the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah kataba al-ihsan, kataba yani awjaba. Kataba, he said, it means awjaba, that Allah has made obligatory. And Allah the Most High made obligatory al-ihsan in everything. And from those things that ihsan is obligatory in is what is mentioned in this hadith: if you kill, do it well, and if you slaughter, do it well. Then he says, Al-Ihsan yakunu bayna al-abd wa bayna rabbihi. Yani ihsan is required in your relation, in the relations between the human being and your Rabb. And it is also required bayna al-abd wa bayna al-nas, between the person and other people, wa bayna al-abd wa bayna al-bahaim. Bahaim, between the people and the animals. Yani whatever dealings we have with the animals. So then he explains each of them. And I'm going to try to yani read through them without any stopping. Hopefully it will be clear. And he says, أَمَّا الْإِحْسَانِ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ. As far as the ihsan in the first category, the most important category, that is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this is the highest, أَعْلَى مَرَاتِبَ الدِّينِ. Yani al-ihsan between me or you and our Rabb is the highest level of the deen. And here he's referring to the hadith of Jibril, in which yani Jibril came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him about what is Islam, what is Iman, and what is Ihsan. Ihsan being the highest level of the levels of the deen. And Ihsan, he said, it is that you worship your Rabb as though you are seeing him, and that you do not associate anything with him, shirk. That you worship him as though you are seeing him, and that you do not commit shirk in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you fear him, and that you have hope in him. And this has already preceded this discussion in the hadith of Jibril, that he asked the Prophet ﷺ about al-ihsan, and the Prophet ﷺ said, al-ihsan in ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tarahu fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innuhu yaraka. Yani ihsan is that you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. And if you didn't see Him, then, and you worship Allah knowing that He sees you. This is ihsan between the person and their Rabb. And its meaning is itqan al-ibadah. It means that you perfect your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ihsan, yani here with your Rabb, it means that you perfect the ibadah. And then he said linguistically, yani if it is said ahsana shayan, yani it means yani atqanahu. Yani if you did well in something, it means yani ahsan here means atqana. And then he said, so you perfect the ibadah in that which is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by two things. You perfect your ibadah in that which is between you and your Rabb by two things. Number one, al-ikhlas lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani worshipping Allah with ikhlas, sincerely for Him alone, not associating anything in that worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, al-mutaba'a lil-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is that you strictly adhere to following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And al-ihsan between us and our Rabb is that we worship Allah as though we are seeing Him, and that we don't associate anyone in that worship. Yani the perfection of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in observing al-ikhlas and al-mutaba'ah, worshipping Allah sincerely alone and following the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adhering to his guidance. After this, he says the second aspect of ihsan is ihsan in that which is between the abd, yani bayn al abd wa bayn al nas, and that is that the people who do good by you, the muhsin from amongst the people who do well, then you return back to them that which is equal to it. You treat them well. And those who do evil, the musi', then you pardon and overlook their evil. And those who are in need, that you give them charity. So you do good by the people, by your speech and by your action. And you deal with the people in a good manner. And you try to perfect your dealings with the people as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded. As far as al-ihsan bayna al-insan wa bayna al-baha'im, it is similar. Likewise, this is required from the human being. Just like it's required to observe ihsan in dealing with people, it's also required to observe ihsan even in dealing with animals. And that is that the one that's hungry, you feed him. And the one that's thirsty, you give him to drink. And you try to reduce their pain and suffering if they are in that condition. And if they are afflicted with some kind of pain, you try to treat it or to cure them. This is in reference to the animals which do not cause harm to us. This is in reference to the animals that do not cause harm to us. Even dogs. Even dogs. The Prophet ﷺ, and it's narrated that he said that there was a dog who was going around a well. And yani he was so thirsty that it almost killed him, the thirst. And then al-baghi, a zaniya woman, yani prostitute woman, saw him. A prostitute from amongst the Bani Israel. And she took off her shoe or whatever she was wearing on her feet, and she gave him to drink, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her for that. The hadith is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the Shaykh says, after mentioning this narration, he says, and this, yani az-zina, committing this act of illegal sexual relations, he said, az-zina a'azamu wa aqbah al-jara'im ba'd al-shirk. Yani that this act of zina, it is the worst and the ugliest of all sins after shirk. And the point is that this is from the most terrible thing that a person can do after shirk. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave that woman who was engaged in that kind of behavior for this act of kindness to an animal. In another hadith he says, there was a man who was walking and he was afflicted with severe thirst. So he descended into a well and he drank from it. And then he came out of it. And suddenly he saw a dog whose tongue was hanging down. And he was eating the soil that had moisture in it from the earth due to thirst. And his thirst was so severe that he was trying to eat dirt because of the moisture that was in it. The man said, this animal has reached the same condition that I had reached. Yani his thirst was like my thirst. His thirst is like my thirst. So he filled up his shoe, his kuf, with water. He held it in his mouth. And then he climbed out of the well and he gave the dog water to drink. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَغَفَرَ لَهُ غَفَرَ لَهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized, appreciated this act and forgave him. They said, O Messenger of Allah, وَإِنَّ لَنَا فِي الْبَهَائِمْ أَجْرٌ قَالَ فِي كُلِّ كَبِدٍ رَتْبَةٍ أَجْرٌ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, is there a reward for us even in yani, this kind of treatment, good treatment, kind treatment to even animals? And he said, every living animal, there's a reward yani, for kind treatment of them. For every living being, anything that has life. So the Shaykh says, so what is obligatory is that we observe ihsan, goodness, yani excellence in our treatment of animals, just as we observe it in our treatment with people, in our dealings with people. Now here I'm going to stop. The Shaykh has some lengthy comments here, and perhaps we may, if we have time, we'll come back to some of it in the end. So I mentioned those comments as an introduction to our topic to give us a more yani, comprehensive look at al-ihsan, and to remind us that al-ihsan is not limited to what is mentioned in this hadith, the ihsan to the human beings and the ihsan to animals, but rather, first and foremost, there's ihsan in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, after mentioning this hadith, number 17, number 1, he says, قَوْلُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Yani the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that verily Allah has كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانِ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He has prescribed, he has obligated, yani made obligatory, he has legislated al-ihsan in everything. He said al-ihsan is ضد الإساءة. Al-ihsan ضد الإساءة. So al-ihsan is the opposite of al-isa'a. Yani al-ihsan means yani to do things well. Yani perfection, yani precision. And al-isa'a, its opposite is to do things poorly. وَكَتَبَ, the meaning in this hadith of إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانِ كَتَبَ بِمَعْنَ شَرَعَ وَأَوْجَبَ. يعني كتب الإحسان, Allah كتب الإحسان means that Allah legislated. He made it from the laws of Islam, from the Sharia, the laws that He legislated, and He made it obligatory. شرع وأوجب. فالكتابة دينية شرعية. شرعية. So the كتابة here, يعني the meaning of كتابة, يعني the Shaykh says in some of his commentary on this hadith outside of what he wrote in the book here, he says that كتابة, like other words in the Sharia, sometimes have more than one meaning. And it, like amara, it might mean, kataba amara, it might mean that this kitaba is, as he says here, diniya shara'iyya, or it could be qadariyya. And kataba may mean Allah decreed something to be, in which case it has to happen. But kataba here means shara, He legislated that it be, in which case people might do it or might not do it. فالكتابة here is دينية شرعية. يعني it's not قدرية. Something that Allah decreed that must happen. والإحسان فيها يكون عاما للإنسان والحيوان. And the what is prescribed, يعني in the what Allah has legislated of إحسان, يعني is general in terms of our dealings with people as well as animals. Point number two, the Sheikh says, ثُمَّ أَمَرَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِإِحْسَانِ الْقِتْلَ وَالذِّبْحَ بِإِحْسَانِ الْقِتْلَ وَالذِّبْحَ. After mentioning that Allah has prescribed, He has legislated, He has commanded to observe ihsan in everything, He says here, then He specifically mentions two things. Ihsan from amongst everything. He mentioned ihsan in killing and ihsan in slaughtering. And He also commanded, بِإِحْدَادْ الشَّفْرَةِ, that a person sharpen their instrument of killing or slaughtering, the knife or the sword. وَإِرَاحَةِ الذَّبِيحَةِ, and that they, yani, kill, or that they slaughter, or in this case slaughtering, he said, that they try to spare the animal pain and suffering in the slaughtering of the animal. نعم. وهذا مثال من أمثلة إيقاع الإحسان عند قتل الإنسان المستحق للقتل وذب الحيوان. So here he says, the Sheikh says, that this is an example from the examples of how ihsan occurs in the situation of killing a human being. Yani executing someone who by the law of Islam is required to be executed. And how the ihsan occurs in the killing of a person who deserves to be killed. And he deserves by the law of Allah, not deserves by our minds or our thinking or our feeling. And the slaughtering of an animal, how does the ihsan occur? The Prophet ﷺ here gives an example of how that happens. وَذَلِكَ بِسُلُوكِ أَسْحَلْ الطُّرُقِ أَلَّتِي يَكُونُ بِهَا إِزْحَاقْ النَّفْسِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَعْذِيبِ. So what is the ihsan here that the Prophet ﷺ is giving an example of in slaughtering or in killing? He said it is that a person take the أَسْحَلْ الطُّرُقِ, the easiest way to get it done, to finish it quickly, in which the life will be taken without ta'adhib, yani without unnecessary punishment, torture, suffering and pain. Then the Shaykh says, point number three, here is a lengthy quote. The Shaykh Abdul Muhsin quotes lengthy, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Lengthy quote from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, Rahimahullah, from his book, Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, first volume, page 381 and 382. And here in this quote, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, Rahimahullah, talks about general areas in which ihsan is required. Yani general areas that cover a lot of things. Yani ihsan, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانِ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, in everything. So here he gives us five general areas that cover a lot of those things that are included in everything. But he gave us general areas. In wajibat, obligatory things, which includes lots of things which are obligatory. Al-muharramat, things that are prohibited, which includes lots of things that are prohibited. So he's given us the explanation of how is the ihsan in these general areas, and things that are obligatory, and things that are haram, in being patient with what Allah has decreed of things that we dislike, in our dealings with the people, and in our authority or rulership over the people. He mentions these five areas, and he gives us, and in these general areas, and an idea of what is ihsan in these areas. And primarily, and he explains that in each of these things, for example, in the obligatory things, there are aspects of that obligation that are obligatory, and there are aspects of that obligation that are not obligatory. Meaning, for example, I'll just give one example to try to make it clear, because it's a little bit detailed how he explains it. So, from the obligatory duties, from the greatest of the obligatory duties that we have is the five congregational prayers. Five prayers a day. It's obligatory. But there are aspects of those prayers that are not obligatory. And there are aspects that are obligatory, right? There are wajibat of salat, and there are mustahibat of salat. And there are sunan of salat that are not obligatory. So there are obligatory duties, but not every aspect of that duty is obligatory. So this is how he is explaining Yani ihsan. What type of ihsan is obligatory? Yani it's obligatory in those aspects of what Allah has made obligatory upon us, that the aspects of it that are obligatory. Okay, so he says here, for the first area, yani first he says, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, this hadith points to the obligation, wujub al-ihsan fi kulli shayin min al-amal. This hadith points to the obligation of observing ihsan, excellence, proficiency, perfection, doing it well, everything that we do of our deeds. Lakin ihsan kulli shayin bihasabihi. But the ihsan for everything is in accordance with what is required by that thing. That is, the nature or the situation of everything is different. The ihsan in the wajibat is not the same as the ihsan in the muharramat. And so on. So he says, ihsan, al-ihsan, fi ityan bil-wajibat al-zahira wal-batina, huwa al-ihsan biha ala waj kamal wajibatiha. Ihsan, in fulfilling the obligatory duties, yani which are done openly or inwardly, all obligatory duties, outwardly or inwardly, actions of the heart or the actions of the limb, the ihsan in fulfilling obligatory duties, it is to perform them ala waj kamal wajibatiha. Yani to perform them in a manner that we complete and perfect the obligatory aspects of that obligatory duty. فهذا القدر من الإحسان فيها واجب. يعني هذا القدر هذا القدر هذا القدر من الإحسان فيها واجب. يعني this amount of observing إحسان in the obligatory duties, يعني in the obligatory aspects of the obligatory duties, يعني to do so, to fulfill them, to perfect the obligatory aspects of the obligatory duties is واجب. أما الإحسان فيها بإكمال مستحباتها فَلَيْسَ بِوَاجِبٍ. But as far as ihsan in the obligatory duties by completing and perfecting the mustahibbat aspects of the wajib, the things that are, yani that are not obligatory aspects of that wajib. So there are some things that are mustahab in the salat, they're not wajib, but they're mustahab. So if a person also does them well, that's good, but it's not obligatory to do them well. What is obligatory is to do well the obligatory aspects. That's the first general area, al-wajibat. The second general area is al-muharramat, al-ihsan fi tark al-muharramat, yani observing ihsan in abandoning the things that Allah has prohibited, perfecting, being proficient in leaving off completely all that Allah has forbidden. He said, ihsan in that, it is al-intiha anha wa tark zahiriha wa batiniha. It is that you leave, you stop it. You stop doing it completely. And that you leave every type of thing that has been forbidden, yani the zahir and the batin, that which is done outwardly and inwardly, publicly and secretly. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 120th ayat, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ. And leave off that which is seen outwardly of al-ithm, sin, and that which is yani batina, that is inwardly or unseen. Yani meaning the things that a person does secretly and the things that a person does openly. Those things that are connected to the heart, which are not seen by anyone. And those things that are seen, that are performed by the limbs of the body. Those things that are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as those things which are the rights of the created beings. Leaving off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, leaving off al-ithm, that which is yani done openly or secretly and so on. And he says that this is what is intended by al-ihsan fi tark al-muharramat, leaving it off completely, openly, publicly, secretly, and so on, to the end of it, leaving it off completely. فهذا القدر من الإحسان فيها يعني في المحرمات واجب. So it is obligatory to completely leave off. يعني إحسان in leaving the prohibited things means to leave them off completely. Unlike ihsan and the wajibat, it means that you have to perfect the obligatory aspects of it, not those aspects which are not obligatory. As far as the muharramat, it means to leave them off completely. Third general area, he says, وَأَمَّا الْإِحْسَانِ فِي الصَّبْرِ عَلَى الْمَقْدُورَاتِ. As far as ihsan, perfecting patience with the things that Allah has decreed, it is فَأَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِالصَّبْرَ عَلَيْهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَسَخُّطْ وَلَا جَزْعَ. يعني الإحسان in being patient with what Allah has decreed, the things that we don't like that Allah has decreed, that ihsan is that a person's patience is without expressing displeasure and without yani expressing impatience with what Allah has decreed. Now we know that the things that Allah has decreed, there are levels of how the believer responds to them. That which is obligatory is what he's saying here, that a person must at least display patience to the extent that they don't show, not in speech, in their facial expressions or other than that, they don't show displeasure with what Allah has decreed. And that's obligatory. As far as what is beyond that, that a person is pleased with what Allah has decreed, that Allah caused them to be sick, or caused their child to die, or their marriage to be spoiled, that a person is pleased with what Allah has decreed, that a person is thankful for what Allah has decreed of calamities, that's another level altogether. What is required is that a person, yani the perfection, the completion of yani ihsan and sabr, is just that a person doesn't express, and if they're feeling something about it, but they don't express it, they don't show it, they just bear it patiently. They might not be pleased with it, certainly they're probably not thankful for it, but at least they don't express their displeasure. This is what is required in reference to sabr ala al-maqdurat, the things that Allah has yani decreed for us that happen all the time, every day, some smaller and some greater, that we don't really like, but at least we don't express displeasure. We realize that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Qaddar Allahu ma sha'a fa'ala. And Allah has decreed it and He does whatever He wills, and we accept that. The fourth area that the Shaykh mentions, general area of ihsan, al-ihsan al-wajib fi mu'amalat al-khalq wa mu'asharatihim huwa al-qiyam bima awjaba Allah min huquqi dhalika kullihi. Yani ihsan, the ihsan that's wajib in terms of our dealing with the people and our interaction with the people, the way we treat people that we live with, that we come in contact with, it is the fulfillment of all of the rights that Allah has made obligatory upon us in reference to our dealing with the people. And everything that the people, that Allah has made obligatory as a right for the people, it is the fulfillment of all of those obligatory rights. There are other things that we might do, kindness, goodness to people in our dealings with them, that are not obligatory rights. Yani, it's obligatory to return salam to a Muslim if they give you salams. There are other things that are not obligatory. It's not obligatory if they say good morning that you got to say good morning back. But if a Muslim gives you salam, it's obligatory to return that. So there are things that a person might do that are extra, that are not obligatory duties. That's extra. What is required in our dealing with the people is to fulfill the obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon us, that people have right to. And the last area that he mentions from the general areas of al-ihsan, aside from what's mentioned in this hadith, is al-ihsan al-wajib fi wilayat al-khalq wa siyasatihim. Yani, our yani proficiency, our excellence, our perfection in fulfilling that which is upon us in terms of the one who has authority of rulership over the people. And how they rule and how they deal with the people under their rulership. Al-ihsan al-wajib fi wilayat al-khalq wa siyasatihim. It is al-qiyam bi wajibat al-wilaya kulliha. It is that a person fulfill all of the obligatory duties of that authority that has been given to them as the Yani leader of the people, as an authority over the people, fulfilling all of the obligatory duties of that wilaya. And a person is an authority, they are the ruler, they are the president, they are the emir or whatever. So that position of authority comes with certain obligatory duties. Fulfilling all of those duties. Fulfilling all of those duties is ihsan. As far as the ruler, the leader who does extra for his people, that's extra. That's extra. But this is, yani ihsan. That is wajib, fulfilling the obligatory duties of the authority that one has been given in rulership over the people. Then the Shaykh, he says, and in closing this particular point of these areas, he says, whatever is above and beyond that, al-qadr al-za'id al-wajib fi dhalika kullihi ihsan laysa biwajib. Everything that's above and beyond the obligatory duties in these various areas, everything that is above and beyond the obligatory, he said, then anything other than that is ihsan, goodness that you are doing, that's not obligatory, it's extra. And it's rewardable, and it's praiseworthy, and it's commendable, and it's something that people should strive to do, above and beyond what Allah has made obligatory upon us. And the last comment is from me. And the Shaykh just said, the Imam said, whatever is above and beyond that, of what is obligatory, then this is ihsan, that's not obligatory. Not obligatory, it's just extra. Then he goes to the hadith, yani the ihsan that's mentioned in the hadith. He said, ihsan in killing that which is permissible to be killed, or the one that is permissible to be killed from amongst the people or the animals. Yani ihsan in killing a human being that's permissible to be killed according to the Sharia, or an animal that's permissible to be killed according to the Sharia. Yani ihsan in the killing, it is that you take that life. يعني إزحاق نفسه على أسرع الوجوه وأسحلها وأوحاها يعني أسرعها من غير زيادة في تعذيب. So the ihsan in killing a human being or an animal that is permissible to be killed is taking that life in the quickest manner possible, in the easiest manner possible. يعني doing it quickly, without causing any extra ta'adhib, punishment or suffering or pain, that's not necessary. For indeed, فَإِنَّهُ إِلَامٌ لَا حَاجَةَ إِلَيْهَا. Because this ta'adhib that's above and beyond what's necessary, the pain or suffering or torturing of the human being or the animal, that you have a right to kill or to slaughter. This, the causing extra and unnecessary suffering or pain or torture, he said, this is something that there is no need for. وَهَذَا النَّوْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي هَذَا الْحَيْثِ. So this is the type of ihsan that's mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, that is in the killing of a human being that deserves to be killed by the Sharia, or an animal that is permissible to be killed. وَلَعَلَّهُ ذَكَرَهُ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْمِثَالِ. Perhaps the Prophet just mentioned this, the killing of a person, the ihsan, and the killing of the person, or the slaughtering of an animal. Perhaps he mentioned this just as an example of ihsan. As an example of ihsan. Because what? Because he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made ihsan obligatory in everything. And then he mentioned perhaps this just as an example. Or perhaps there was a need for him to clarify this matter at that particular point. Yani maybe there was some need to clarify the matter of killing and slaughtering and ihsan as it relates to that at the moment that with the people that he was talking to. Then he says, yani Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, so the Prophet ﷺ said, and in giving this example, he said, if you kill, then do it well, and if you slaughter, then do it well. وَالْقِتْلَ with كَسْرَ and ذِبْحَ with كَسْرَ, it means الْهَيْئَ. يعني, it means, قِتْلَ means the manner in which you kill. ذِبْحَ with كَسْرَ means the manner in which you slaughter. The manner of doing it. وَالْمَعْنَ, and the meaning here is what? أَحْسِنُوا حَيْئَةَ الذَّبْ وَحَيَّةَ الْقَتْلِ. Yani that do well. Yani the manner in which you slaughter and the manner in which you kill, do it well. With yani proficiency, with perfection, with excellence. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى وُجُوبَ الْإِسْرَاعِ فِي إِزْحَاقِ النُّفُوسِ الَّتِي يُبَاحُ إِزْحَاقُهَا عَلَى أَسْحَلِ الْوُجُوبِ. And this indicates the obligation of being quick in taking the life of anything that is permissible to take its life in the easiest way possible. In the easiest way, quickest way, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, yani in accordance with the Sharia. In accordance with the Sharia. Yani the quickest way, if it was by electrocuting the animal, then that's not in accordance with the Sharia, even if it's quick. If the quickest way is busting the animal over the head with a sledgehammer, that's not in accordance with the Sharia. Quickest way, easiest way, within the bounds of what Allah has legislated. Point number four, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafizullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says point number four, and point number four is next to the last point of his explanation of this particular hadith. And I'm paying attention to the time, and I'm thinking that, you know, I'm looking at the hour, but it's not the hour now, it's the quarter to the hour. So somebody help me if it looks like I'm like going fast. I mean, I'm okay right now, I think that clock is right. Point number four, he says, Al-Ihsan fil qatl matlubun bidun ta'adhib aw tamthil. Sawa'an kana fi kital al-kuffar aw القتل قصاصا أو حدا. يعني إحسان in killing, in executing, or executing someone, or killing someone, or killing something. الإحسان in this is required to be done without any torture or suffering, unnecessary torture or suffering, or mutilation, or mutilating the body. No matter if it is in the fighting of the disbelievers, or if it is in executing somebody by the law of qisas, or if it is, yani, executing somebody by a had, a prescribed punishment from the hudud of Allah. In any case, al-ihsan is required in killing and avoiding torture or suffering or unnecessary pain or mutilation of the body. إلا أنه عند القتل قصاصا يفعل بالقاتل كما فعل بالمقتول. يعني the Shaykh, he says here that except the exception to this is that in killing, in executing someone by the law of qisas, retribution, life for life, in killing somebody in that situation, he said, this rule of avoiding torture or suffering or pain, yani, is not applicable. Because the person who was killed by qisas, yani, there's mumathala, yani, that the same thing that they did to the person they killed will be done to them. The same thing will be done to them. And this is as it came from the Prophet ﷺ in the killing of the Yahudi, الذي رد رأس جارية بين حجرين. And this came in what has been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ in his execution of the Yahudi who crushed the head of the girl, the Jariya, crushed her head between two stones. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith number 2413, and Muslim 1672. So the Prophet ﷺ, she was still living for a while, and they went to her and they questioned, who did this to you? But she couldn't talk. So they mentioned names and names and names until they mentioned that Yahudi man, and she nodded. That's the one. So they brought him in. It's narrated in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said he was brought in, and he was questioned until he confessed. And then the Prophet ﷺ had his head crushed between two rocks in the same way that he did to the girl that he killed. And then the Shaykh says, and also as it's narrated, yani example of the person who's killed by the law of qisas, that this rule of ihsan, sparing them suffering, is not applicable. Rather, that person should be killed, executed the same way they did to the person that they murdered. He said, also it came in the story of the Uraniyin, the people who was from the tribe of Urayna. And this hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari, hadith number 6802. And in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 1671. And this story is the story of some people who came to Medina, to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they accepted Islam. And they didn't do well in the environment of Medina, they became sick. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent them out to the people who were taking care of the camels, that were sadaqah, and told them to drink from their urine and from their milk of the camels. And they became cured. And when they got well, they apostated. And they killed and tortured and mutilated the people who were taking care of the camels, and then they stole the camels and fled. So the Prophet sent some people after them, and they caught them. And they brought them back, and the Prophet ﷺ had them killed, executed the same way they committed the murder. He had their eyes plucked out, he had their hands and feet cut off, and then he left them in the desert to die, to bleed to death. And this is another example of that the law, the rule of ihsan in killing is not applicable. When a person has tortured or murdered somebody in an evil way, then the same will be done to them. The Shaykh ends this point by saying, أَمَّا مَا جَاءَ فِي حَدْ الزَّانِي الْمُحْسَنِ. As far as, that's a reference to qisas, as far as the had, the prescribed punishment from the hudud of Allah, for the person who commits zina while they are married, or if they have been married in the past, and they commit zina, he said the punishment, the had, the prescribed punishment is al-rajm, stoning to death. And obviously, a person is not going to be stoned to death and spared pain or suffering. But this is what is prescribed in the law of Allah, the Shaykh says, فَهُوَ إِمَّا مُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ عُمُومِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. So either this, the stoning, is an exception to the general meaning of this hadith, that a person should be killed, if they're executed, they should be executed, without causing them unnecessary pain and suffering or torture, or mutilation. He said this is either an exception to that, to the general meaning of this hadith, or another way to look at it, he said, أَوْ مَحْمُولٌ عَلَى أَنَّ الْإِحْسَانِ يَكُونُ فِي مُوَافَقَةِ الشَّرْعِ وَرَجْمُ الْمُحْسَنِ مِنْهُ. The other possibility is that it is understood, that the stoning for the zani al-muhsan, the stoning to death, this punishment may be understood that ihsan is that which is in, ihsan is in doing something that in agreement with what the way Allah has legislated it. Muwafaqat al-shara. So whoever does something in the way Allah has legislated, that's ihsan. That's the perfection. That's the perfection of that matter. And so stoning the zani muhsan is that which it is ihsan, in that it is in agreement with what Allah has legislated in the sharia. Here we came to the end of the Shaykh's explanation. The last point is point number 5, mimma yustafad min al-hadith, the things that may be, the benefits that may be derived from this hadith. And I just want to read a little bit of the lengthy discussion from Shaykh Saleh Fawzan. I want to go back to it, but it's quite lengthy. I won't be able to read it all. So it's like a few pages, but I'm just going to read a little bit of it. And say that, going back to the explanation that he has given here on this particular hadith, I think it's critically important, because he gives a good and detailed explanation about killing, and the things that a person should avoid and be careful from, and so on. And he also explains the same thing about sacrificing with some detail and things that should be avoided. And from amongst the things that he mentioned, I'll just mention it in passing, in slaughtering, he said the best, the quickest way and the easiest way, and what is required in slaughtering, is that it be done quickly, and that once the animal is slaughtered, the dhab is done, the person should not be hasty in cutting up the body before the animal actually dies completely. They should not be hasty. They should wait until the animal has completely died and the body has cooled down. As long as there's movement in that body and there's life in that body, then we don't combine the adab of killing them with the adab of cutting their body up while they're still living. Rather, they should be left until they're completely dead. And also he said from the ihsan and slaughtering, very important point, he said that a person has to know كيفيه الذبح, how to do it. Nobody, a jahil who doesn't know how to slaughter, shouldn't يعني say let me just practice and learn how to do it on this animal. Rather, no one should perform the dhabh except the person who knows how to do it well, who has perfected it, who knows the manner in which it is supposed to be done. And then I'm just going to close with these remarks from Sheikh Salih Fawzan. He said, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is a summary of just a little bit of what he said concerning the earlier matters. Sheikh says here, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ, and every one of you or any one of you must sharpen the blade of the instrument of killing or slaughtering. He said, the shafra sawan kanat lil qatl kasayf aw kanat lil dhab kasakin. It doesn't matter if it's an instrument that's used for fighting or killing like a sword, or it's a knife that's used for slaughtering. It is obligatory that it be sharp and that it's able to cut quickly. And then he says, the last statement of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, وَيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ, and that he should spare the ذَبِيحَة, the animal that's being slaughtered, suffering. Spare it, unnecessary pain, unnecessary torture. يعني, يَذْبَحُهَا عَلَى صِفَةٍ مُرِيحَةٍ, يعني that the animal should be slaughtered in a manner that is مُرِيحَة, يعني that, يعني it is the most likely manner in which the animal would be spared suffering and pain and torture unnecessarily. He said, you don't drag it. You don't beat it before you slaughter it. You don't wait for a long time in holding it down. Rather, you hasten. Yani, hastily. Yani, you hasten in doing the slaughtering quickly so that the animal will be spared suffering. And this is from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory. وَهَذَا مِنْ مَحَاسِنْ هَذَا الدِّينِ أَنَّهُ دِينَ الْإِحْسَانِ وَلَيْسَ هُوَ دِينَ الْإِسَاءَ أَوْ الْإِنْتِقَامِ بِدُونْ حَقٍّ. This is the end of what the Shaykh says. He said, and this is from the mahasin of this deen, yani from the beautiful aspects or the merits of Islam. It's a deen of ihsan, yani of excellence, doing things good, doing things well. And it's not a deen, yani that doesn't require excellence, yani where things are done poorly or badly. Nor is it a deen of yani seeking revenge or vengeance without a right to do so. As far as the benefits from this hadith, from the benefits of this hadith, the Shaykh mentions four, and we're going to mention just a couple more from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, and we're going to close with this in the few minutes that remain. He said, number one, wujub al-ihsan fi kulli shayn. Yani from the benefits of this hadith is that it's obligatory to observe al-ihsan, proficiency, excellence, perfection in everything. Number two, wujub al-ihsan ind al-qatl bi suluk aysar sabil li ishaq al-nafs. That it is obligatory to yani be proficient when you kill somebody by using the easiest, yani the quickest, the fastest way to take the life. Number three, wujub al-ihsan inda dhab al-hayawan kadhalika. And likewise also, it is obligatory to observe al-ihsan in slaughtering an animal. Yani doing it in the easiest, quickest, yani way to spare the animal suffering. And fourthly, he said, tafaqqud alat al-dhab qabla mubashiratihi. لِقَوْلِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَيُرِيحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. Yani that a person should examine and inspect the instrument that's using for slaughtering before beginning the slaughter. And not after they've thrown the animal down and pinned him down and tied him up and holding him down, then they start checking to see, is the knife sharp? If not, let me just sharpen it here while I'm holding this animal down. No. Rather, a person should make sure of that before they begin the slaughtering. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that any one of you or every one of you must make sure, yuhidda, must sharpen the instrument that he's going to kill or slaughter with and yani spare the animal suffering. That means that you have to do this beforehand. And as far as the benefits that's mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, he said that from the benefits of this hadith, min fawaid hadha al-hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ja'ala al-ihsan fi kulli shayin hatta ishaq al-qatla. وَذَلَكَ بِأَنْ يَسْلُكْ أَسْهَلْ الطُّرُقْ لِإِسْحَاقِ الرُّوحِ. Yani that from the benefits of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required that you observe ihsan in everything, even in taking the life. Even in taking a life. And that is that you use the easiest way of removing the life from that person or that animal. Wujub ihsan zab kadhalika, and likewise, yani ihsan is required in slaughtering. And that is that you yasluk aqrab al-turuq li izhaq al-ruh. وَلَكِنْ عَلَى وَجْءَ الْمَشْرُوعِ Yani that, in slaughtering also ihsan is required that you use the nearest, easiest, quickest way to remove the life. However, it must be عَلَى وَجْءَ الْمَشْرُوعِ Yani the easiest way must be in a manner that has been legislated in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number two, من فوائد هذا الحديث يعني طلب تفقد الآلة آلة الذب لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويحد أحدكم شفرته يعني that a person should search for, examine, inspect the instruments that they use for slaughter, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that one of you should make sure that his instrument is sharp. And the last point the Shaykh mentions من فوائد هذا الحديث طلب راحة الذبيحة عند الذب that a person must seek to spare the animal at the time of slaughtering, spare them unnecessary pain, suffering, or torture. Yani that they must do it in a way that yani is less painful, less harmful, where the animal can be at ease. And from amongst the things that are necessary in order to do that, he said, وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يُضْجِعَهَا بِرِفْقٍ دُونَ تَتَعَصَّفٍ فِي إِضْجَاعِهَا Yani that a person lays the animal down gently, not recklessly, haphazardly, in laying the animal down or throwing it down. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا أَنْ يَضَعَ رُجْلَهُ عَلَى عُنُقَهُ That a person puts their foot on the neck of the animal to hold it at the place where they're going to cut the yani animal's throat, so that it doesn't move, so that they can cut it efficiently, proficiently, effectively, completely and perfectly. وَيَضَعَ قَوَائِمَهَا الْأَرْبَعَ الْيَدَيْنِ وَرُجْلَيْنِ بِدُونِ إِمْسَاكٍ And that their legs, their hands and their feet, yani their four limbs, should be left without yani holding them. They should be left free, not holding their legs down. And that is because this is more effective in sparing the animal unnecessary pain or suffering. And this is more effective in allowing them to have freedom of movement. وَلِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ أَبْلَغْ فِي خُرُوجِ الدَّمِ عَنْهَا فَكَانَ أَوْلَى And that's because doing it like this is more effective in allowing the blood to come out of the animal, and therefore this is better that it be done in this manner. I think we have 5 minutes. No, we don't have 5 minutes. We're going to stop here. But I will refer you, I'll refer you to the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned in the Sharh, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 120. Please go back and read this tafsir from Al-Imam Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'adi. This tafsir is tremendous, but yani, because of the time, inshallah, we'll pass with that and stop here. If there's any question or any comment or any correction from what has been said, then we'll take that. And then after that, inshallah, we'll sit for a few moments for those who are not hasty. Naam, Ameen. Naam? Surah Al-An'am, 6, 120.